This is exactly right.
Forgive me for interrupting. I'm Bridger Weiniger, host of I Said No Gifts on Exactly Right. Each week, I invite my favorite people in comedy over to chat, and they always bring a gift. We're coming up on our 200th episode, and every episode is a gem. I have welcomed all kinds of great guests, including Cola Scola, Bowen Yang, Robbie Hoffman. It goes on and on and on. And you don't want to miss the 200th episode with the great Maria Bamford. What does she bring me? Find out April 25th. New episodes every Thursday. Follow I Said No Gifts wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Babs Gray, and you know you've been in L.A. too long when someone you've had a threesome with shows up in clown class.
It's pretty rough. I'm Brandy Posey, and what do I want on my tombstone? Epstein didn't kill himself.
I'm Tess Barker, and FYI, a woman in Italy told me it's healthy to eat pasta every day as long as you only eat lasagna on the weekends. I'm seeking no further nutrition opinions at this time.
And this is Lady to Lady.
Can you keep a secret?
Neither can we.
Hello! We got Barbara, Brandy, and of course, Big Tess. We got a show for everyone that's the fucking best. Come on, baby. It's time to hang out with your favorite ladies. Ladies and ladies, ladies and ladies.
Yay!
Welcome to the show, everybody.
That was Tess's viral tweet.
Went viral.
Super viral. Moms loved it.
Moms loved it. It was so
funny. It's getting shared as a meme.
It's getting shared as a meme.
How many likes are we talking?
Oh, we're talking 279,000 likes.
What?
42,000 retweets. Because it's one of these tweets where, like, what is it? It's the perfect nothing of a tweet.
Yeah.
It's like we can all agree we like pasta.
Yeah, it's a very, very relatable.
How many followers is that translating into?
I got, like, an extra, like, 1,100 followers from it.
Okay.
Wow. That's
pretty good.
That's great. Wow, that's a nice return.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I just woke up one morning and I was like, I went
when
to bed thinking
this?
Nothing. I woke up and it was like 4 days
nice.
Ago. People love pasta because it's also like across all political parties. Everyone loves Italy.
It's easy.
Those are always the ones that do the best.
Absolutely.
Just you're very relatable.
Plus you're like letting women be a little naughty. You know what I mean? They love it. Oh, they love to be naughty.
Letting
them
be naughty.
Mom, like wine mom naughty spot.
It's very, for sure.
Yeah. Oh my God. You're going to be in a wine mom shirt.
There's going to be, honestly, you should start an Etsy shop with that. Like on a thing.
Good idea.
Oh, good money. Capital, capital.
Yeah.
Monetize.
Let's get
ride
some
the
merch.
Wave. Get it going.
Let's do it.
Let's bring on our fourth guest. She's so funny. Mm-hmm. She's been at Just for Laughs. She's won a Daytime Emmy Award. She also has a show coming up on December 6th at the Lyric Hyperion, the Chris Gethard Show, hosted by Robbie Hoffman. Is that how you officially call it? Robbie Hoffman.
It is. You know what? They're giving over the Tonight Show, I figure. It goes from Carson to Leno to Fallon.
Yeah.
The Gethard Show was canceled.
No, to
they're
Conan.
Not giving it. They're not.
To Conan for a second and then
whatever.
To Conan.
Yes. I don't get it. Whenever somebody brings up to me Conan and Leno, like these white dudes fighting over great jobs, I'm like, who cares? I don't feel bad for anyone in any situation there. I'm like, you have nothing better to feel bad for.
Yeah.
Than two very wealthy white men who both have fantastic jobs.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And people get passionate. You see people going, like, oh, gee, Conan, what's wrong with you?
Grow up.
Like, are you insane?
I just love
fighting
chronology.
About... It's so weird.
Oh, my God.
Grown-ups talking about this in a real sense.
But some people
Joan
really,
Rivers, I
somebody
hate her.
Are really
Gita Carson, like, what is wrong with you?
You don't think people should be very passionate about the entertainment things that they're into? Because I think that it just... It's how things are.
I'm
about
with
your
Robbie,
entertainment. Because they act like it was like this huge tragedy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That he went from an amazing job to a different amazing job to a different amazing job.
Yes, of course. But I mean, I think like obviously from his perspective, it was, you know, if that was your goal for a very long time, I don't care who you are. It still sucks when your thing gets taken away from you. I agree.
Yeah, it does.
He was very lucky.
And I love Conan much.
But I'm not saying, of course, he's very privileged and he just went on to have another good job. I'm not saying that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I think he's allowed to be sad about it.
If you're listening, I want to do the show. Nothing to do. I'm talking objectively of the situation. We got carried away by personally thinking of these rich white men in ways that we never should have been. I should have been thinking about my period more than this. I think on my period the same week this was happening, and I was hearing more about this. That I had my own.
But I see it's
on.
A good distraction from a period.
Yeah, it's just it was like it's so like yeah, I get it that he wanted a thing and didn't get a thing. Anybody else?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. You know what I mean? It was just like, but people like to the day are like, I won't do that show. I'm like, I would do both. I like
no,
both.
No, absolutely
of
do
of
both.
Of course. I have nothing. Nothing. I don't have a personal opinion about anyone.
Can I say this about Jay Leno? Can I say this? I was on the Laugh-In reunion that they recently did at the Kodak Theater.
Okay.
And I was standing next to Jay Leno. Uh-huh. Here's a couple. I was in high heels, you guys. I was looming over Jay Leno. Do you know how tall you feel when you're looming over Jay Leno? I was looming over him.
How tall is he?
Is he a short guy?
I picture him as like a tall guy.
I do too. Yeah, I guess. He feels tall. The denim on denim, makes him look bigger.
I see a solid 5'10. He seems like just a guy.
Okay, yeah, he's probably about 5'10 because in my heels, I was probably 6'2. Yeah. And I was just towering over him.
Yeah, 4 inches. You're not towering. You're
taller. I will say this. I do think it's appropriate. I was thinking about work hard, be kind the other day. And I do think it's very appropriate that we all took that to heart. And we were like, yes, Conan, work hard, be kind. And then it got taken away from him. And also, it's not how it works at all. Because all of us are working hard and being kind all the time.
Yeah.
A lot of shit isn't happening for many people.
A lot of people are not being kind.
I would counter that.
Yeah. A lot of people work I know hard, are doing both.
I would counter that in going back to the Conan thing. Actually, he said that in the last episode of The Tonight Show. Mm-hmm. And I think that...
Oh, I thought he said it before he went to
The Tonight
Show.
No, that was his last Tonight Show.
That was his goodbye speech. And I think that was him owning that he was going to another amazing job. It was take this away from me, but I work hard and I'm kind. And he still did have amazing
things. Yes, exactly. Yeah, yeah. And he's a comic for the comic. They all have... You know, Jay Leno's still a road guy. He's doing that thing. And Conan is more into the heart of comedy. And it's fine. And there's no wrong way. And they're both, I think they're both great people.
They
probably
serve a function.
You know
so
what
anyway,
I mean?
Jay Leno.
Like Leno, you're painting anyone with a wide brush. Okay, then you can do anything. But, you know, Leno and his wife, I think, are very charitable. I like anybody who hasn't had kids, personally.
I really don't know anything about him.
So Mabel. Anyway, let me finish this Leno story, though. I'm standing right next to him, and he turns to me, and he's being super friendly, like, he's all like, you guys are comics? I'm Jay Leno. You know, he's kind of talking to everyone. And he just turns to me, and he goes, where are you from? And for some reason, I just go, you mean geographically?
And what did he say?
He was like, yeah. Like, I don't know what
as opposed
other
to what?
No, what dimension?
Yeah,
do you
like
from?
In my head, like that's kind of just who I am. I was like, do you mean like mythically, like, spiritually?
Yeah, like in my heart,
like my sign.
Yeah, yeah. What are we asking for? My zip code.
Yeah.
Nice guy, though. Was that the end of your story? He's a nice
guy.
That's it. Of course.
Yeah, he was
These
fine.
Guys are good guys. So who cares? Yeah. Like, it's like everybody wants. That's like men drama. It's made up. Yeah, it has no roots in anything real. And we're supposed to be passionate about it. Our drama is like ICE is taking kids. And do, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Not that they're not passionate about that, but
and
it's like men will go
too.
Like
yeah,
way.
Yeah. That's it's white man
I just
from America
painted,
drama.
Men, men in comedy, this is their big beef. This is their big drama. Versus women are like, we don't have jobs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, women in comedy
are
like,
if you gave us more.
That's what I meant. Work hard, be kind. A lot of us are doing that, women. Yeah.
I will say a lot of people are not being kind.
That well, is actually, I had never thought about that, Babs, and that is, I think, very true.
Well, I like what I was going to write into it. It's like, work hard, be kind, go to Harvard.
Yeah.
Have a rich dad.
A rich
what else
daddy.
Do we
need? Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Come from generational wealth of some kind.
Yeah. Yes. Very helpful.
Exactly. Well, and just the idea of being kind as a woman professionally is like, doesn't really work.
Well, here's the thing. I think it does work. I don't think a lot of people are kind. I've said this. I think that a lot of people are kind and a lot are not. There are
I think
assholes,
so too.
There are bitches. I find this is how it is. Mm-hmm. I'm not always approached with kindness. If I do well, it's suddenly things are kind. Mm. That's how I find. That's how I find moving into any city or doing anything. It's like there's a little bit of proving yourself, which is fair and be expected in any industry that you're embarking in. So I get it. But that does happen in this. So I don't want to be like, I don't want to pretend, so, you know, there's a...
Yeah. I'm talking about the people I know personally who are working their fucking asses off and also being nice and don't have those extra things that are getting them those jobs.
I don't
That's
think
I'm
that for women. I really
about.
Don't think that for women. I think kindness, if you already have the other shit and as mm-hmm. You also just happen to be a kind person, those people absolutely exist and flourish and do great. Mm-hmm. I don't think that the majority of times kindness helps a woman at all.
I don't think, I think kindness is a different... conversation.
Well, yeah.
I think there's not the data on does it help or not help. It's good for your own being to be kind. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it has a professional effect to the extent.
It doesn't because you get shit on.
You have to just be
like,
you, whatever it is. If you happen to be kind, that's great. That's going to be what you're going to be doing. And if you're not, I don't know. Yeah, I would like to see the data on such a study.
I mean,
I don't
the
think
anecdotal
have...
data that I've seen in like, not just in the entertainment industry, but a wide variety of workplaces is that and again, I do think that it's possible to flourish and be kind, but a lot of times what happens to women in lower positions is that when they are kind, they're like, oh, this is just a person I can dump work on, and everyone just takes that work for granted because they are kind.
Well, yeah, you're ceding space. Yeah. It's like that's mm-hmm. like the capitalist way of being kind is to cede your ground, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't understand that, but it sounded like something.
Well, yeah, it's like the idea of like capitalism is you take, and like, but to be kind within that is like you can't do both things at the same time.
Exactly.
You have to give of yourself.
Exactly.
Which goes against it completely.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Well, alas, here we are. My show is December 6th.
Oh, my God.
Taking over the Chris Gethard show. I've given myself the talk show.
And
nobody
you wrote for his TV show, right?
Yes. I did write for the show. I was also a correspondent on the show. Had a very fun time on the show. And when it was canceled, I mean, I was constantly pitching in the room that they should just make me the host of the show.
Great.
Gethard did not go for that at the time. And then I called him about a week before I got my first date and I was like, I'm taking the show. He was like, oh, you know, I might be touring my book and I'll see if I'm in LA. I'm like, no, you're not on the show. There'd be no reason. Like my guests are booked. It's like the first guy and only guy I had sex with, Ryan Abrams. He's an accountant. He'll be on the show.
Oh, very cool. Is that on his website?
Like, what?
Is that on his website that he's the only guy you've ever had sex with?
Doesn't have a website, but he should.
Oh, I see why you fucked
him. I mean, by the way, it's a very good feat. I'm pretty dykey. Yeah. One got in. It's a good. He good got in.
Did he get in like midstream? It wasn't early.
He got in midstream. How? He got in midstream. I was 21.
At what point is he aware that he is the only one as of
he's
right
aware.
Now?
He was on the show. We talked about it.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Yeah, he has a little bit of hair on his shaft. And we went into the details.
Awesome.
Yeah. So December 6th, not to be missed at the Lyric, $8. We pack it in.
God.
We have a good time. It's also Shabbos. We do a little candle. We have a good time.
Yeah.
Very nice.
It's going to be awesome. I love it.
Very nice. Love the Lyric.
It's
a great space.
That's where Barb's clown classes are, right?
Yeah.
So clowning.
They're down the street from it, but yeah.
Oh, okay.
Basically.
Yeah.
Clowning.
Yeah.
Clowning. Yeah, I walked in there and I was like, hey. And I was like, oh. this girl who I remembered had been in a bad threesome with. Mm. So.
Wow. Did you guys talk?
Yeah, well, no, we're friends. It was the second thing I thought of when I saw her. The first thing I thought was like, oh, hey, what's up? And then I was like, oh.
Oh, we've had a threesome.
That's a good place to be.
Yeah. No, it was not like awkward. I just was oh, right, that was a shitty night.
Until she clowns a threesome.
So who'd you have a threesome with? Her and a
her
dude?
And the guy she was dating at the time who was my ex-boyfriend.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
I've told you all about this.
Yes, I know. I knew.
I had a feeling too. Okay, good.
Now, I threw someone I was 17, my girlfriend and one of my good friends, David. Shout out to David Kaplan. I was not ready for that. I was like I was too toppy for the situation. I was like directing it.
You were
17? I didn't do anything. I was like clothes.
17's,
I got this hookah from Israel.
Yeah.
I got home. I was living on my own. Mm-hmm. The apartment was empty because it was brand, like I was just moved in. So I had these pillows and this hookah. I made kind of like a nest situation, like a psychopath.
That sounds what you're doing. That sounds like you're setting the scene.
I've said this before, but my first sexual experience was a threesome with two guys named
That's the best.
Was one with a J and one with a G E?
Yes, actually.
Good for you. I mean, not a bad. And I think I directed my girlfriend at the time to give a blowjob to my friend David. Shout out to David.
Very
and
nice.
Then I called her a whore and kicked her out of my house. And, I was very not ready, and I thought she was too into it. I was into that she was into it, but as soon as it was over, I took it very personally.
Yes, apparently the jealousy thing is really rampant. I've never really experienced one.
I feel like, how could it not?
I've grown since.
Yeah, it'd be hard.
That doesn't make sense to me, but I'm not like, really a super jealous.
Because me, that's like my worst nightmare.
Right.
So like, see, that would be like hell for me. Like,
yeah. Well, a threesome also kind of feels like shower sex, but with a third person, where it's just like
a lot to like figure out.
Kind of not in the right space. Yeah, like, in theory, it makes more sense than practice. Yes.
I could see it being very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Sex works with two people. That was the design of it.
Yeah.
If we're being honest.
Yeah.
That's why it's the less you get away from heterosexual sex, the harder and weirder it gets. Mm-hmm. Even if you're lesbians, it doesn't work as seamlessly as heterosexual sex. You have to figure stuff out. Not someone is always in the space. That's the way it is. And I'm not offended by that. That's just, it was naturally designed probably for a man and a woman, that's really
I will say the sex I've had with women was seamless.
Seamless, but not, I'm just saying that it's still you figuring something out that's different.
Yeah. You're bringing in
You have to just think about it for a half a sec.
Right.
It's an extra, but we're still having a good time. You in, I'm in. We're having a good time. And that's the way it is. So it doesn't matter.
Yeah, no one's getting pregnant
by accident.
It's
like having to put on a wetsuit to go in the ocean. Like, we weren't in the ocean before. Now you have to put on a wetsuit.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, a rubber sheet, whatever you're calling it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Slip some feet into your Uggs afterwards.
Exactly.
I will say we're bringing Tess to a surprise tonight.
Mm-hmm. I'm so excited.
What do you mean?
She has no idea. We're taking her somewhere.
And I wanted to see if she can guess what it is.
Yeah.
Well, I kind of don't know because I don't want to give any
real hints of any kind.
But give it one guess. You get one guess.
The only guess I had is like it's maybe something to do with Danny DeVito.
I love Danny DeVito. What's happening with him?
I wish it was.
Maybe she's just a big fan of his. I won't Google it. Maybe he's in a play. That was my only guess.
That's a good guess.
Oh, I know. Then you're seeing the Fleabag play.
Oh, is that happening?
I ran into somebody yesterday at the gas station who had just seen it at the Regal or something like that.
Oh, I'm going to see the live recording of it.
Yeah, I got tickets.
I'm seeing it at UCLA next month. I can't wait.
They're doing it live and then broadcasting it? That's cool.
Yeah, that's an interesting way to do it.
When I first got tickets, our friend Steve Hernandez posted on Twitter, "Hey, I'm deleting this in 5 minutes, but Phoebe Waller-Bridge is doing Fleabag at UCLA. Tickets are only $20. And I was like, and I just immediately bought two tickets.
Yeah.
And then I DM'd him. I was like, thank you so much. And he was like, it's a live recording, but it's still going to be cool.
It's supposed to be unreal.
Can't wait.
Yeah.
That's going to be really, really awesome.
Besides my show, December 6th, the Lyric.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, going on a different date.
Which is live and live, so.
Can people watch it live via anything else?
No, you got to catch it. I'm not figuring out any of that. Just, okay, either you're there or you're not.
It's always harder than you think it's going to be.
Yeah.
All the streaming shit. We've done a couple of live streams.
Anyone who's watched our live streams from our Patreon has seen me fumbling for the first 5 minutes to figure out how it works.
Is it on?
Is it on?
Is it? Can you hear us?
We get very anti.
Yes, it's very anti.
Yeah, for sure.
I want to ask, so we were supposed to record with you like a few months ago, and you found kittens.
Yeah.
Isn't that when you heard that excuse, Tess, that I couldn't come to the podcast because I just found kittens in a bag? It made perfect sense.
No, it actually to us it did. Absolutely. Yeah, to us.
I think one of us would cancel on the podcast if we found kittens.
Yeah.
But tell us what happened.
Is that the dykiest, like this being a dyke? And then there's like, I found kittens, I can't come to the. Like, there I was. Okay. I got top surgery. I actually have never even said this. I don't think I've said this. I cut off my tits.
Oh, wow.
Calm down. So
I just feel my hands go in the air as you were a guest on our show. I don't know what to do. Yeah.
So, you know, I feel more comfortable and Baruch Hashem, everything went well. Now, my friend Natalie Norman, shout out to Natalie in Toronto, very funny community. She came to take care of me in Florida. Mm. She loves her breasts. Very different person than me. Mm. She loves makeup. Big on makeup. I know nothing about makeup. So I said, Natalie, write your Santa wish list, whatever you want from the makeup. I'll buy it for you. Things you can't get in Canada, Toronto, whatever. She lives in Toronto. So I had to go to Ulta. I was going to Toronto for just the last 42. I was going in for one day. So I was like, I'll pick up all this makeup. I was like, Natalie, time for the list. So she sends me palettes. I don't know what. I'm just going in with Shaw. I'm like, do you have this palette, this palette, this palette? Mm-hmm. I just bought a ton of shit. And then I saw Kylie's town. I'm like, well, I got to throw in some Kylie.
Yeah.
Right?
And you, I love that you don't know about makeup, but you knew that. And that's right.
Yeah. Because I like the Kardashians. So I, you know, so there's this and that.
I wouldn't have guessed that.
No, I know. But the big family, I come from a big family. I like watching a big family on TV. Okay. Anyway. So I come out of Ulta with these bags, and I bought her like a little case. I just throwing in stuff that,
that's nice.
And then I go to the parking lot, the elevator in the parking lot, and there's a bag there from Ralph's. And I'm like, somebody just forgot their Ralph's. Damn. You know, so maybe I could chase them to the car. They were obviously just in the elevator, whoever it was. It was a bag hanging on the elevator. You would remember.
Like a plastic paper.
Plastic
what?
Bag.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, my God.
And so I look in it to see, like maybe there's a receipt. I don't even know. Like, somebody. Yeah. It's just strange to see a bag in an elevator. You would look at it because it was... It was the only thing.
Yeah, of course, absolutely.
And then I look in and I was like, "Oh, it's just garbage." And but I thought I saw something furry in it. And then like I looked in and I saw something breathe, but I couldn't see a head or anything.
Jeez,
I thought it was like a raccoon or something. Yeah, so I just like let it go. Found a security guard. Went to the Petco. The security guard was like, "It's cats." And I'm like, "It's cats." And then I was like, "Well, we can't just leave them here." I'm like, "Oh." God, Hashem, not today. Like, if I bring these to my girlfriend, that's it. I have four cats.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
I can't tell. But what am I going to do? I go into the Petco, which is in this complex. I'm like, you guys have a box or something? They're like, we don't have a box. I'm like, it's Petco.
You have a box.
I just found.
You have a box.
Like, you have boxes.
You just need to be the co. I have the pets.
Okay. I'm with a security guard. It's me and him. Like, we're standing there. I'm like, mom and dad want a box. Anyway, and they come back out. So it was like, he was like, it's two cats. I'm like, two cats. And I look, and they're like, look up one, and they were this big, tiny. And then when they come back with the box, there's a third one. I'm like, it's three. It was a little orange one, too, tiny. Have to, like, even tinier, that orange one. So there was three cats, and then my life ended.
Yeah.
And then we brought them. We think the shelter was responsible for killing the little orange one because they sedated them to kill them. They said they were going to keep them alive until we got back from Toronto.
Are you serious?
Yes. And then they were...
It was a city shelter?
Humane Society.
Really?
Humane Society, Pasadena.
Whoa.
Disgusting. Liars. Shout out to liars at Humane Society.
It's hard to... keep a kitten in that kind of condition, I think, like,
no, but I healthy. Mean keep them, don't kill them, there are cats.
No, I'm not saying they did
them
on purpose.
I've signed them in. Mm-hmm. We're boarding them.
Yeah
They're now my three cats.
Right
I'm saying I'm gonna be back in a weekend.
Oh yeah, it's like, yeah.
And were they taking care of them and giving them shots?
That's
and all
what
that
they
stuff
said
in that time?
But they didn't. And then Kitten Crusaders, shout out to Kitten Crusaders, if you have an extra dollar, give it to them. These people out of nowhere, they're just going rescuing cats, they're spaying and neutering stray cats, so they're helping an animal. They're doing everything all by volunteer and donations. These people are lawyers. They have real jobs, and they're with every waking moment of their free time are literally bottle feeding, very sick animals. They were like, oh, my God, Humane Society will kill them. Mm. Yeah. So, of course, we $1,800 USD later, the cats are... One of them still died on account of the seizure, which they said maybe the stuff to put them down may have contributed. Jeez. Humane Society, inhumane society. It's really what it is. Makes me sick. Mm. It's one thing to tell you you're going to do, but don't lie.
Yeah, don't lie.
That's all I'm saying. Really... We don't know anything. We're doing the right thing. We found kittens.
Yeah.
We're bringing them.
You think you're on the...
Yeah. We think we're doing... I don't
and
know
And I will
anything,
say, because I run social media for like a city shelter in LA, and it's really, 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 really rough. Like, it is... There are no resources. There is
nothing.
Fucking nothing. We wouldn't have leashes. We wouldn't have treats without it being donated. There is jack shit available. And like... I think the people that volunteer there and work there just get jaded because you see so much shit. Expect the general public to understand that.
Mm-hmm. I know, but I put my card down. I would have paid for the treatment. They were like, they have ringworm, so they're putting... We found out it was totally curable. I don't know. I thought it was lethal. You tell me it's lethal, it's lethal. My girlfriend, we're not going to know the cats and then kill them. So anyway, now I have two cats.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm. So you adopted one and then someone adopted the other one and the orange one did not make it.
Yes.
So what's your cat's name?
Eddie.
Eddie.
And what does Eddie look like?
Eddie is striped, white paws, unbelievable, has seven thumbs for some reason.
Yes.
Those are the best.
Little guy.
And I have pictures on my phone, but it's charging. But Eddie's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Phyllis died. Phyllis was the... Actually, Phyllis was really Flea. but we named Flea after. So when Flea died, we named Phyllis after Flea, after her fallen.
Oh, nice.
That's sweet.
So we did that.
How was your other cat and Eddie coming
together? Haven't met yet on account of one of the cats has
you're
still contaminated.
Yes.
And we have to wait a certain amount of time until it's like, not only does it have to be clear, then a month on top of that.
Gotcha.
Just to be safe. So they're in separate rooms.
Okay. Gotcha.
I'll say like, you know, people cancel sometimes, but I think that's very, we're glad that the kitties found a home.
The exact reason why.
Because if nobody would have looked at that Ralph's bag, like, come on, that's crazy. What the fuck was, so sad.
No, thank you for canceling.
Yes, thank you.
Oh, I'll thank you for looking in the Ralph's bag. That just goes to show you, when you find a Ralph's bag in an elevator, always take a peek.
Yeah. Always.
We'll be back in a second, y'all.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey, welcome back to Lady. I'm Brandy.
I'm Babs.
I'm Tess.
And we're here with Robbie.
Hi.
What's up? Yeah. Can we ask you some questions?
I love
Should
questions.
Should we?
Oh, good. Big question person.
Okay, good. Okay,
I took quizzes, YM Magazine, like I'm into it.
Very good.
Perfect.
It's soothing kind of, right?
Yeah.
To get your results.
I agree.
It's just like a nice, easy way to define yourself, to be like, yeah, that is who I am.
Exactly.
Yeah. In this moment, that's all I need to be.
Yeah, you're like, to be me, I have to click this one. To be me, I have to click this one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's
and
why
like, we all have
those.
Like 85 me's, yeah. So it's like, which me do I want the results
This
for?
Is why people love the sign shit so much.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just soothing to be have someone else define you and see you a little bit.
Oh, the sign, like astrology?
Yeah.
So I never had that done. On my birthday show, December 6th, I am having it done.
Oh.
Somebody told me I was a double Sag. So I was like, okay.
Oh, you're a double Sag. Okay, yeah.
See, so I'm going to find out what this means.
Yeah.
Well,
that'll
be fun.
It's exciting.
Yeah.
Hope it's okay. Yeah. I mean, people
Sag
like,
is a great sign.
Double Sag. Okay.
Yeah. Doubles. I mean, it's intense, as you know.
It's intense. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. It's a little game called Who, What, Where, When, Why.
Who, what, where, when, who, what, where, when, who, what, where, when, why?
Number one, who is the Muppet you most identify with?
I don't know any of the Muppets.
Really?
I grew up religious.
Canadian.
Well, yeah, I grew up very religious Jewish, and I didn't really, wasn't exposed to a lot of that early on.
Okay.
So I don't know the Muppets at all. I guess, you know what I learned later, because somebody said, I reminded them, the two old guys in the booth.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Statler and Waldorf.
That's
what
that energy. I don't know if that's Muppets, but somebody told me that. I was kibitzing with another friend, and we were like... Mm-hmm. Insulting whatever performance was happening the whole time. We were like,
oh, it's perfect.
And somebody called us that. Yeah.
They're, I think, my favorite part of the Muppet Christmas Carol.
Oh, yeah. Good.
They have a whole song and dance. Yeah. Did you grow up Orthodox?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yes. So not a lot of the Muppets. Not to say I couldn't get into them.
Yeah, of course.
It's Sesame Street. I like, that's not Muppets.
I think it is. It's the same studio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
is there a Sesame Street character you relate to?
No.
So, Statler and Waldorf.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I had not watched SNL in a long time, but when the dude from Stranger Things hosted, did you see the Grouch, which was like the Joker?
Oh, yeah, the Joker.
That was one of the best sketches I've seen in a long time.
That was well done.
Yeah. Okay.
He's dating Lily Allen, the actor.
What?
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Whoa. From Stranger Things?
Yeah,
dad?
Good for him.
What's his fuck is dating Lily Allen?
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
I do like
I
that.
I like that.
Yeah. Good for him.
Yeah.
That's very
fun.
Cute.
I know like, none of those people, so it's
Lily
fine.
Allen,
I know
him she was, like she's British like a British pop star. You would recognize him.
Good for her.
Probably.
Her brother, Alfie Allen, is on Game of Thrones, and he's like one of the more like, his character goes through some real fucked up stuff, but she has a song about Alfie and how he used to just
about
smoke
how lazy
weed.
He is. Yes. Yeah.
And I remember when like somebody was like, "Oh, you know, that's the Alfie from the Lily Allen song," and I'm like, "But he, Jesus Christ, he goes through like one of the saddest transformations in the entire show."
And his sister just sang a song about what a lazy piece of shit he was.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like given the chance, any of my siblings would write a song roasting me. Mm-hmm. We all would do it to each other, I think.
Yeah, you guys would. That should be like a Christmas tradition.
Yeah, and we would love it.
Yeah, definitely.
How many siblings do you have, Robbie?
Nine.
Nine?
And where are you in that?
I'm seventh. Wow. Seventh of ten. Wow. I have six older and three younger.
So is everyone else still super religious?
Nobody.
Okay.
My mother left the fold. One of my brothers, Schneier, is religious, but he's like kind of returned to it. There was certainly a break. Like we've all like transitioned out of it.
But you practice. You
Jewish.
Still,
yeah. You though.
We're still Jewish, but like probably how you know Jews now. Normals. I mean, I wouldn't claim to be normal, but whatever that means.
Did you make a conscious decision to kind of leave Orthodox Judaism?
My mother did. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, mother took the 10 kids.
At like what age was that?
Yeah.
For you?
So I mean, it's tough to say. Like I was probably still religious or conservative at least till I was in the house. Like I was kosher till 19.
Mm, okay.
You know, it's not like something like. Like my parents got divorced when I was a kid, but we still maintained.
Yeah.
It was still the only world
that's
we know.
The way you live.
So, I don't know. So I would equate it to being like, you know, it's a transition like anything else. It's not like, oh, the first day, like my parents got divorced. We're like, oh, pants for everyone.
Slowly.
It was like, you know, you get pants. But yeah, no Muppet really. I'll watch the Christmas thing. Mm-hmm. Because it is a popular thing and it does come up. It seems to not be going away.
Yeah, I mean, I would say, I found out my Muppet from other people too, and it's good to watch and it's good to know.
Like, I'd probably be like Oscar the Grouch or something like that if they had to say on the surface, but I may be a mix of like an Elmo and an Oscar. I do feel I'm very sweet, but in a way that you wouldn't know.
Well, you just rescue kittens out of a...
Exactly.
It's a very Elmo thing.
Exactly.
I'm honestly not a big Muppet person either. Like, I like them, but I didn't, like, grow. I was not.
Who's your Muppet? I'm, like, my first thought immediately vibe getting from you was Fozzie.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Fozzie makes sense. He's a comic, right?
Yeah.
But I don't know. Animal Fozzie?
What do you mean? There's only one.
No, animal.
Oh, I thought you meant the animal Fozzie.
No. I just thought of animal's hair.
Oh, animal. You're animal when you're Aunt Lisa.
Yeah. You have a couple of whiskeys, Fozzie becomes animal after a couple of shots.
That's true. I work at a Jewish community center for my day job, and we had this like big show on Saturday, and one of the guys we hired, he's like a variety act. He's a vaudeville.
He was amazing. Barbara crushed as a host.
He balances.
By the way.
I heard amazing people. I saw Kara and Orin. They were like, Barbara was amazing.
Yeah, it was fun.
Oh my God.
Saw who?
Yeah,
Kara and Orin.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was really fun. It was nerve wracking because it was the first time I was ever performing for my coworkers, and so it was like a weird, like
horrendous.
Here's me being
a comedian.
It was
fun watching them watch you though, because it was you were doing a full magic trick in front of them. Because
they had no idea.
They know you as like Barbara and her computer was like, you know, coordinating whatever. You know? And then you're just oh shit, that's who she is. It's amazing.
Yeah, it was
that's
full on like, here it is.
Yeah. It's pretty great.
It was so really intense.
Fun. But this guy Michael Rayner, who does like juggling and vaudeville stuff.
Funny.
He was amazing, and he balances a whole wheelbarrow on his chin, like an entire giant wheelbarrow. But he said he's used to going to very, very like Jewish. He gets hired a lot, and he was like, I didn't know like what it was gonna be.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, I'm used to not being able to shake women's hands and like all that stuff.
Wow.
And he was like, this is like very different than I thought it was gonna be.
For the record, let me just say something. If he did put out his hand in front of a Hasidic or Orthodox Jewish woman, she would probably shake it.
Right.
Okay.
But not to be rude. It is a stereotype like that. Oh, like if you know not to touch them, then it is nice of you not to put your hand out.
Right. I think he's used to going to extremely religious places.
You know, if Barack Obama, when I was a kid, put out his hand to shake my hand, I would shake it back. You know what I mean?
But can Barack Obama balance a wheelbarrow on his face? I don't think he can.
But you know what I mean? You're not trying to be rude to other people, even though we're incredibly rude people and very isolating.
Well,
I think he was more saying
he was observing other people.
Hands are going up again.
No. But if he had to shake some, if he forgot ever, he shouldn't feel bad. And we wouldn't feel bad either.
But I'm sure if you play a lot of Jewish events, you're trying to be mindful of that.
Yeah, so he does.
That's the thing. He's aware of it. And he was making a joke on stage about, you know, he was just kind of like joking around about
I just love people who do, because that must have taken him 2 years to learn how to do that. Well, like, how do you do that?
His Instagram is all him, like, in a court. Like, he also balances a cheeseburger on a parasol and, like, spins it. He spins it so fast that it gets unwrapped and the pickles fly out of it. And, like, that's what he said was going to happen.
Pop in the air and he can, like, flip it upside down. It's truly.
So, but it's, yeah, years and years of him rehearsing this very specific skill.
Because I just love the idea. Like, I think that's what we all do to a certain degree, but, like, some of us justify our bullshit as, like, something not so weird. But that's what we're all doing, is just choosing, like, one weird thing.
No, that's weirder. No, I will say objectively, his shit is weird. Okay, no. No, I won't live in a world where there's no nuance.
The balancing of boots on his
nose. Oh, yeah, he balanced people's shoes on his face and his nose.
Weirder.
Yeah.
I will just say.
Yeah.
But more niche, the weirder it is.
But, like, that takes so much commitment. It takes the same level of commitment as, like, being an Olympic athlete.
Yeah.
It's still that same part of your brain that's just, like, obsessively, like...
You have to rehearse all the time.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
My sister's always doing... My sister's a sword swallower and a fire dancer, and she's always just up to some bullshit. And, like, she spends so long learning these tricks.
I know, but see, for me, tricks, first of all, not... These probably... He sounds incredible. I would love to see him. I would enjoy it. For me, the tricks, where it ends, maybe because it's me, is just that I know that a lot of practice went into it. Mm-hmm. For me, it never did. I'm never fooled that it's, like, easy or something. I'm like, oh, he probably practices all day doing this.
Do you
stand up?
You like
I think you can fool because we make it look easy. Mm-hmm. I don't think that. I think the illusion is still alive and well in stand up. And it's funny because it's ironic because he's doing an illusion.
Yeah.
But the illusion is very. It's not. It doesn't get past me. I go, oh, he's probably practicing. This is his whole life.
Yeah,
in stand up, people think you just thought of that on the spot.
Yeah.
There's something magical about that. So I do think that that's where I always have that disconnect with circus acts like that. I'm like, oh.
Well you have the ability to make stuff on the spot too. It's not like he's not gonna improvise.
No, you can't improvise that trick. That's such a specific thing. I'd love to go to a magic show with you.
Oh, I would love it too. And I do love magic. Here's the whole thing.
Oh, interesting.
I do love magic and I love watching it. But it's always like,
So maybe it makes you appreciate the craft of magic.
I like you know, I mean, there's a difference between, for me, magic and daredevil stuff, right? So, being able to catch a bullet in your teeth, that's, that's, like, not magic. You're really doing it. Mm-hmm. You're just practicing.
Yeah.
You know, it's that's
can
like...
Can anyone do that? Is that a real thing?
Yes, that's, what's his name? David Blaine?
Blaine? Yeah, David Blaine literally
But that's magic.
No, it's not magic. They really do shoot a bullet and catch it.
I don't know.
I think that's magic.
David Blaine, I'm sorry, but he's magic.
Or not magic. No.
Magic.
No, he does. No, he wears like a guard.
Okay.
Like, it's not a trick. He does also, like, somebody who can hold their breath underwater for 12 minutes. It's not magic.
You learn to get
it's
that.
It's a dare. It's
but
a,
do
what
you
do
think
call
we
it?
Actually it's know? Yeah, yeah. For all we know, he actually is performing a visual trick, and we actually don't know
whether. No, they die from it sometimes.
Wait, you're talking about from getting shot? I know that the holding your breath underwater is obviously a skill that you build up.
All those things, like, that's a different thing. I enjoy watching it, but I'm never at any point during a magic show like, oh, they just did this.
Okay.
I know that they do this all day long and this is still
Have you ever been to one? Because I love going to the Magic Castle.
I went once.
My favorite magicians there are the ones that do the, like, the mind reading guys. I'm most impressed
by
those.
That's amazing. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
The cards, the mind. You're holding this card. It's folded here. It's behind. Where the hell is the card coming from?
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
Those tricks are unbelievable, and those suspend my reality more so than a guy juggling a wheelbarrow on his thing. Because that I could see the practice. I know exactly what he had to do. I get it. Mm-hmm. That I don't get. I'm still figuring out. That I don't know what you do to practice. You know,
so you are more interested like in the process.
No, I just like that suspends me and I can enjoy the show more.
Right.
This doesn't suspend me as much. So I'm still thinking about, I guess if you do this for your whole life, you can do this.
Connect A to B pretty quick.
I feel like the difficulty makes it almost like when you watch an ice skater pull off some bullshit. I'm like, I know she practiced forever for that, but that's so fucking cool that you would spend like your whole...
Yeah, the skill is still impressive to me.
To me too.
Yeah, the skill is still impressive, not as impressive to me. I'm just saying, there's a nuance, there's a Kinsey scale for the level of impressiveness. That's all I'm suggesting. There are certain things that are more impressive to me than others.
There's a spectrum of impressiveness.
I can just tell for a magician that you're the one in the audience that they're like, I'm going to break her.
Yeah. I know. And I do. And I'm like, I'm the guy also there. Yeah. Like, you'll hear me cynical on this podcast. I'm like, oh my God, great show. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
That thing with this. I mean, how did you do it? I'm also like, can we get a picture? Like, I'm that guy also.
For sure. Yeah.
I did meet this guy in France who was one of those mind reading guys, and he figured out the password to my phone, and that really freaked me out.
Yeah, whoa. That shit.
Yeah, that kind of stuff is like
psycho.
That was really
that's
freaky.
Amazing.
And then I forgot that I was like, I couldn't get into it then that night. And I was like, oh yeah, he changed your code? It too.
Did he not give you the new code?
No, he did. But okay. I just, you know, at first
you're so used to the whatever. Yeah.
Can I say one more thing?
Yeah,
of course.
May I?
Yeah, on a podcast, absolutely.
Yes. No, I just thought of the reason sometimes why I do find, not that stand-up's more impressive. Again, on my level, stand-up versus circus-ass stand-up is, to me, there's something more magical about it. For the reason that sometimes with those acts, I do wonder, can anybody practice this much and do it? How much talent is involved? How much innate talent is involved? Stand-up, when it's good, has to have innate talent, I believe. You have to have a certain je ne sais quoi, a people skill about you, a gift of gab. You have to have something special, plus tons of practice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I could see both, and they're excellent. Mm-hmm. But with that, I go, it's very rare acts like that where I'm like, oh, they're also super talented. I'm wondering, is it all practice? Mm.
Does
anybody with a ton of practice just do that? Do they also have the innate talent? They have the drive, they have the commitment, nobody's questioning. But the innate talent, and the ones who are great at performing and entertaining sometimes do.
Yeah.
Those are the guys that do, and those people, you know what I mean? They also have a very quality about them, a performer quality. And that's where the talent comes in. But the people
See street performers that actually do cool shit, they're putting on a whole show. Like it starts with the opening and they get it. And I think there's something very like primal and cool about that. Like they're just on a fucking street and they're so engaging that they get people to stop and like see what they're doing.
Yeah.
And they have their little dog and pony show.
For sure.
Yes, I agree. And it's like seeing the guys on the subway in New York. I mean, these guys are phenomenal dancers. But they're also, they have amazing, their acts.
The charisma of it all is like, that's the
talent. That's the je ne sais quoi. Mm-hmm. That is the goodwill. Mm-hmm. That's the stuff that I place a lot of value on.
Yeah.
Because I've also seen stand-ups that have great writers. Mm-hmm. Great. This is a joke for sure. And I go, well, you don't have to be in front of me right now.
Yeah.
You could be on the radio.
You're technically proficient.
You know, it's not as much.
It is weird in that way where it just combines skill sets that don't necessarily always live together.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
But je ne sais quoi can't be a skill set, right?
It's a talent. Like,
it's just innate.
It's an innate.
Well, that's your humanity. I think that's just like, are you an engaging... I think all you can do is just be your truest self, and that either is or isn't.
Yeah, well, that's what the innate quality is. Yeah. That's what the talent is. I think we're saying the same thing now. That was it. I just wanted to add that point as well.
So Stadler and Waldorf.
Yeah. Yeah. To answer that question, I guess I'm those guys.
Let's do one more. Okay.
I only got to the who, the why.
We almost only ever get to the who.
I'm going to skip down to. Okay.
Yeah, I'll do speed round. I'm so curious.
Speed round. If we have time, we'll do a speed round.
Okay.
But when do you feel alive?
Every single day.
Great question. Okay.
Okay.
Well, speed round.
Okay.
Speed round. Okay.
What is Robbie short for?
My birth name. It's a Jewish name. It's not short for anything. I gave myself a stage name based off my uncle, Rob.
Oh, wow.
Great.
Where are you going?
All the way.
And finally, Robbie, why the internet?
She's so annoyed right now.
I literally don't know.
Yeah. I mean, that is actually the answer.
That's a perfect answer.
I think these are all perfect.
Yeah.
10 out of 10.
You got a perfect score.
Great.
Well played.
I win.
All right.
USA.
We will be back. Robbie, we're going to give some people some advice in the next segment.
Oh, I love that.
Wonderful.
Be right back. Welcome back to the podcast, Lady to Lady. I am Babs Gray.
I'm Brandy Posey.
I'm Tess Parker.
And we're here with Robbie Hoffman.
Hi.
And let's give some advice, shall we?
All right.
You guys have been writing us in some stuff. Keep doing it.
Yeah. If you have lady problems, send them to ladytoladycomedy@gmail.com.
Lady. Lady problems. Lady.
Lady problems. Lady problems. Do you have them? Lady problems. Do you have them? People have them.
Hello, ladies. Help. I'm an asshole. I need some advice from professional, likable, and cool people like yourselves, because I am not one. I am a disliked person. I started working in an office right after college 3 years ago. I started with four other employees, all about the same age as me, and all of us just out of college. We all got along great in the very beginning, but then shit started and it was all centered around me. There were instances where I found myself being the outcast. It got so bad I cried at my desk instead of going to lunch with the rest of the group like we do every day. I'm trying to understand what I could do to fix myself to not be so hated by my peers. I figured it out eventually that I am an extremely defensive person, which I think stems from terrible self-esteem issues. I think of myself as stupid and awkward. I say stupid things and I have a horrible memory. I hate being the only person who doesn't know something, and I love being the only person who does know something and can teach others. When in an office and group setting where we have to brainstorm, if someone doesn't like my idea, I take it personally. It feels like they are calling me stupid or untrustworthy of a good idea. Just today, I was excited to start a project outside of my team, and I've been building it with another leader and my boss. I'm going to be out of town for 2 weeks soon, so one coworker suggested another person from my team be on the calls. I immediately took this personal, that they do not trust me to take over this project. She specifically stated, "Are you the only one on the call? Wonder if we should have at least two people on things like this in case one person is out and something comes up." I said, our boss and I will be on the call. She said, "I wonder if she, our boss, would mind someone else in the call on the team to join in also. I know you have vacation coming up soon. We'll be gone for 2 weeks. Just a thought." My heart started pounding and I found myself having an issue responding or even focusing. Why can't I have this to myself? Why can't they trust me to do this myself? If I add another person, sure enough, like other things, they will take over and I'll be the person left outside of it. This has happened before. Anyway, I brought this up to one of the girls who I think I can trust. She came over to me in person and said that sometimes when I say things that come out very hurtful, that I need to break down my defensive towers. I know she's right. I think I would get along and be a better person if I can stop taking things so seriously and personal. But how? Please, ladies, help me stop being such a fuck. I want friends. I know I'm fun. I take shots and I dance like a fool. But no one wants to hang out with someone who you can't joke around with. I have a lovely Frenchman in my life and we talk about getting married soon.
Oh, I love this twist.
I know. I can't believe I'm worried about the amount of people who will be there because of my lack of friends. Any suggestions? Or am I destined to hug my dog and drink wine with my boyfriend forever? Friendless. Asshole girl. P.S. I fucking love you guys. You make me burst out laughing at 7 a.m. on the train any day of the week, even on those shit days.
Oh.
Can I say something?
Yes. Yeah,
please.
This sounds like a case of bullying. This sounds like they're gaslighting you. Maybe I'm defensive. I'm getting very defensive. Mm-hmm. I'll say this. It's happened to you before where they do this, and I've been in writers. I've felt this, somebody encroaching on your territory. When you're feeling it, it's because it's happening. Okay? You're not crazy. You're being gaslit to make it seem like it's you. And it's nice to, it's people like to group and go against someone and have you as a scapegoat. And it's easy to blame you. You know what I mean? It's easy. And then you get it into yourself and you internalize these things. Okay? You have to stop being negative on yourself. It sounds like, okay, you acknowledge some of these things. You're a little defensive. Nothing's so wrong with being defensive over things you got to be defensive about, like your job. You know what I mean?
I just like to point out that Robbie is with her arms are crossed.
I'm
she's sitting back.
I'm sick to my stomach about this situation. Because these colleagues feel, you know, I know these types of people and they're mean. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the things that they are, it feels mean. When somebody is leaving you out and you're feeling that, it's because that's what's happening. It's you're not making that up. That's what's happening. Mm-hmm. But yet you're made to seem like, well, the reason if you were just like this or you were just like that, you're perfect the way you are. Start embracing it. Lean into it. And that's it. I would double down on my defense and say, actually, I'm okay on the call myself. Thanks so much. And that would be the end of it for me. But I know that might be, you know, a place where you can't, you know, act that way. But I will say maybe try this approach. Try embracing yourself more because the approach of listening to them and their opinions on what you type of person you are is not working either, is it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So why don't you try the loving yourself approach more so than blaming yourself approach? And as long as you're kind, being a little defensive or work things happens. They should be able to separate the personal from the business. Sounds like personally, you're not defensive. You like to go out and have a good time. When you're at work and there's stakes and there's money involved, you're going to protect your share a little bit more, and that's fine. Hopefully, new people get hired here. Those people, you know, people who are bullied you from the beginning, it's hard to change their perspective. You're not going to be friends with somebody who's just not liked you from the beginning or something like that. But maybe there's somebody new at work who does get hired soon. That's it. I know I was all over the place, but I'm sick to my stomach about this bullying issue.
I mean, I think that you hit on something there where it's like you have to be okay with yourself. That's what like at the bottom of this is. And you said that it has something to do with self-esteem stuff. And so I think that is, I think a huge part of it is just accepting that, yeah, you are who you are. It doesn't make you a bad person. Mm-hmm. You are who you are because you're protecting yourself. And that's the way that you do exist to live.
And
you
she seems pretty self-aware. Like she's done actually a lot of reflection and is kind of aware of her tendencies.
And the assholes usually don't know. That's the thing is assholes don't say this stuff.
No.
The assholes say blame everybody
else. Put it
for
on someone else.
Yeah.
They aren't trying to do that introspection at
all. And they're going to make you feel crazy. There's times where you should be defensive. They're going to be like, well, you're always defensive. Even when you should be, you're not going to be able to tell when you can be defensive and when you can't be.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, I do think you're right that she should just step up and be like, nope, I am the only one who's going to do this. Thanks. You know?
Yeah, start
you kind
asserting
of have
yourself.
To start taking those strides to really
stand up
for yourself.
And this is what I was talking
to
about the workplace issue earlier about the being nice.
Yeah, yeah.
This is exactly what I was talking about.
Yeah, you're being a this is not, I don't even equate this with nice. I think that it actually comes off better when you protect yourself. And you defend yourself rather than staying silent and letting it fester. Say, actually, I feel like I'm capable to do this call myself, but thanks so much.
Mm-hmm. But I will say, too, I mean, I think they're going to be motherfuckers whether or not that's totally out of your control. Yeah. So anything that you can do to kind of weather that storm in a way that it's going to take the minimum amount of like toll on you. And I think it's going to be beneficial. And I think part of that is sort of whatever you need to do to not let it impact you too much when you get like some kind of bullshit from them, like whether like just finding a way to like to emotionally disconnect a little bit from the situation because you don't have control over a lot of it.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like she's gonna have to start figuring out how to do. And that's I mean, how do you even do that? I mean,
well, when you don't give a shit, it's like when you start ignoring someone and they're texting you. Well, aren't we all seven? Mm-hmm. Yes, we are. Okay, and this is. Well, this is it. No, but you have to start acting like Tess was right. You don't give a shit. You take your lunch. You confidently eat it at the middle fucking table. Okay? You get your laptop on. You put on an episode of Wendy Williams and you watch it at full fucking blast enjoying your lunch. I don't give a shit. And that's it. And you'll start seeing that they'll start respecting you. At meetings where you're like, well, this is going to sound offensive if I say it. Say it, bitch. And that's it. So that's my advice. And you know what? That's worked for me. I've always been somebody who's been like oil and water with someone because I do have a big personality. Mm-hmm. Before I was big successful writer comedian, I was a banker, an accountant, and I was in a very serious corporate world. Mm-hmm. And I always was meant to feel like something was wrong with me because but clients love me.
Yeah.
Right. And all that stuff loved me. And the truth is they were all boring people. They were inside the same box. Mm-hmm. You're not like any, you sound like you're different from the mainstream, which ultimately is a good thing.
Yeah.
And so just lean into those things.
Mm-hmm. I think the other things will come along with that. When you kind of start asserting yourself more,
then you're
not going to be as worried about if like, you know, someone doesn't take a suggestion of the thing because you're going to be, you know, fine with yourself. And it's going to be like, well, that's their problem. That's not my problem.
Because here's the fucking bottom line. At the end of the day, it's about the work. And if you're crushing it, there ain't shit they can
say. They can't do nothing. Look at my numbers on the board.
Period. Let those do the talking. I mean, as long as you're dotting your I's and crossing your T's, it doesn't fucking matter.
Head down
and
at
just
work.
Take the power back.
Because you don't want a friend to be friends with you for somebody you're not.
Yeah.
You want to be the most you with your friends. And every year you want to be more you than less you. Don't hold back who you are now. Mm-hmm. Lean in every year and you will get comfortable with and then you'll pass comfort and you'll be into it.
Yes.
It's a very good place to be.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is also her first job right out of college. She's been there for 3 years.
Oh,
so it's the
right.
first professional job, too.
Oh, it gets so much better.
Yeah, it's going to get so much better after that.
Oh, my God. You'll meet your people more. And it never ends meeting your people. And when you meet your people, they'll meet you for you.
Yeah.
And they'll be just as, they'll be like, why didn't you say so? They'll be like me going, no, I would have said, I don't think you're defensive enough. Mm-hmm. Not that you have to be defensive, but you meet your people who are you.
It's something I think about a lot too. Like, it's really easy to like, my yoga teacher says something about this to me once, but like, it's really easy to get carried away with like the waves of life. Like, it really is like an ocean that is always, shit's just going to come at you, but like, you are not the wave. Like, you're watching the wave happen, and, like, you are just the stable thing in the middle of whatever else happens.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So just be the stable thing and know that you're awesome.
And be more of you.
Yeah.
Never less. The solution is never, how can I not be me? That's not good. I mean, navigate work and make sure, like Tess is saying, you're killing work and doing what you need to be, and you're professional, but you're assertive. You love you, and you're going to start acting like it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and also I feel like you're worried about like your lack of friends, but like this question is about like your coworkers and stuff. Like, are you doing stuff with friends outside of the office? Like, make sure your social calendar has some stuff going on too. You know, like coworkers are not friends.
No.
You know.
Oh, the worst people in the world.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a separate.
Nobody
likes
coworkers. It's very rare you like a coworker.
Yeah. Yeah. I've liked some coworkers, but maybe I've just been like.
Well, yeah, I mean, I have some that I like, but that wouldn't be on my list of like, if I was, you know, a wedding or whatever, that wouldn't be like, these are the people that needed the thing.
Yes,
you know?
Exactly. And so. It's like, and making friends is tough as a grown up. So you're going to get used to that too. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yeah, maybe, by the way, you have a great boyfriend, it sounds like. My sister's married to a French guy. Love him to death.
My God.
So, you know what? Friends is, it's not school anymore. So, but you will meet lifelong friends later. I just met one this year. You never know when somebody's going to come into your life and be your people. And you'd rather quality over quantity.
Yeah.
If you have three good people at the wedding that you love, that's more than fucking enough.
And that's like dinners you don't have to buy. Think about it that way too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. The goal of life is to get to less people, not more. Just good people.
No, I mean, I think there's something to be true about
that. That is definitely something you learn as you get older, I think. You're like, oh, right. Like, the social circle, you only really need a few people.
You want a few really solids where you could be 100% you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I agree with that. And definitely Sean, my husband, is like that. But I'm like, I'm such a, like, golden retriever, like, extrovert. I'm just like, hey.
I know. Yeah. Exactly. But you're getting the same thing. You're still getting the same thing from only a few. You're getting the meaning stuff from really only a few people, probably.
Yeah, but
I have a lot of friends, like, because what we do, we're out there.
There's a
lot. You have a regular job.
Yeah.
You're not going to have the amount of friends we have. It's just the way it is. Okay. Mm-hmm. But you'll meet people along the way who are you. You don't want to be friends with people who don't get you. That's always your feel insecure.
No. Yeah.
It's
you want somebody that understands you.
That's not
genuinely
a friend. I'd rather stare at the wall.
Yeah. Do you guys have any? Because, like, I had this thing happen yesterday where, my friend is asking me to act in like a thing of theirs tomorrow. And I was just having a lot of anxiety yesterday. I just wasn't in like a good headspace. Mm-hmm. And the character he wants me to play is, he was like, you know, just be like you. She's like really confident. She's like really sexy. And I was just like, I'm not feeling like that right now. You know, and I'm not a great actor. So it's hard for me to fake that.
Like, fake it. Just do it.
But what do you do when you're having like a lull in confidence? You know what I mean? I don't feel like super myself right now, and I'm trying to like get back to it.
It's all about playlists. I make happy playlists.
That's what I need to do.
That
I don't listen to enough
pumped
music.
Up. Yeah, I don't know any music.
I went to like a talk of this producer woman who was amazing, but that was a tip she like said in her talk was like, when you're going to a big meeting, have like your go-to 12 songs of songs that just make
this
you
gets
happy.
You going. Yeah.
And like, I found that's like a great pump up.
Massive.
Yeah, and just fake it till you make it. Not everybody needs to know everything you're feeling.
For sure.
Let the people close to you that
you're
safe.
But I wasn't able to fake. I was not doing
well. So some days you're not able to.
Yeah,
but the ones you can, there's going to be days you can't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're still humans.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I have a couple friends right now, too, that like we've started just every morning, we send each other like a list of 10 things that we're grateful for every day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like just a way to be accountable, to be like, okay, cool. Let's just start the day in a positive space. These are 10 things that I'm very happy about.
See, I can't stick to anything like that.
Yeah.
No.
Well, it's nice to have a rule about it. No, that's great to have.
Mm-hmm.
And if that works for you, do that.
Yeah,
find
sure.
things that work for you.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be something great.
I mean, it's, I think, you know, corny sounding, but honestly, gratitude is like the best go-to as well. Like, you can always find something to be thankful for. And like, you can't be like simultaneously thankful for something and like that upset.
I'd be very curious to know
about that.
I'd be very curious to know how many of these, if you can send a follow-up and maybe they'll send it to me. How many of these girls have boyfriends? They might be very jealous you're in a happy relationship. I don't hear about that a lot.
Mm.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
that
people. The boyfriend jealousy is real because men have gotten so bad that it's very rare.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
No, you found one? Yeah, no, that's what I'm hearing. Yeah, I mean,
definitely.
I've friends with a lot of straight people, and it's really grim out there. So And now it's becoming like if you had a nice car or something, having a nice boyfriend, it's like people are looking over and they're not happy about it.
This is just how offices exist, too. You know, it's like there's got to be people pick their, you're right, they pick their person that they all want to like dump on.
And it's easy to not like her and all this stuff.
Yeah, and then that's like, what they connect on. And it's just like, it's shitty if you're that person.
A lot of times, too, that's because the workplace is not a stimulating environment.
Yes.
And like the human brain has to invent some bullshit to get through the 9-to-5 day.
Yeah. We love Goss.
Yeah.
You know what? Bring in a nice lamp, turn off your overhead lights. Just like do a couple things to make your space feel good and like fucking.
Somebody comes up to you, be extra. Be like, what?
Yes.
That's it. Don't kill with kindness. It's not working. It makes you weaker in this sense. I normally wouldn't say this, but this one, you have to protect yourself by extra defensive around these bitches. Yeah. So that's what I'll say. Just like, what? You're there to work. You're their head in the game, and you got a sick ass boyfriend at home.
Yeah.
These girls do not sound like they're getting good dick.
Oh, I love this.
Or pussy, depending on who the orientation is.
Oh, they don't sound like lesbians. But if they're lesbians, and I've met some very mean lesbians, I mean, it's cultural. So, I mean, I do apologize on behalf of the lesbian community. But I would be surprised if they're lesbians.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
They sound like straight, basic girls.
Yeah, the straight, basic girls, for sure.
Yeah. Episode of The Bachelor.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, they're making a Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. I just found
out.
Wait, really?
It's going to be great.
That'll be amazing.
It's going to be great. Mormon Housewives are fascinating.
Yeah.
I'm going to love
it. It's going to be, I was like, I'm finally going to get into it. Finally watching it.
Blonde children.
Oh, yeah.
That's a great entree. You know what you got to do is that and then Atlanta.
Yeah, I need to watch. I mean, I haven't watched any of them. So
see, I don't watch Atlanta, but I watch Wendy, and Wendy talks all about. So I know about.
So you
all
get the
them.
You get
yeah,
the
I get
notes.
The gist. Yeah.
Okay, we don't have time to get into it, but Wendy, I love, but I also like.
She's tough.
Yeah,
she's unreal. I think she's a talent.
With what we've been going through with the Britney thing, it's just hard when you know a lot of details about something and you see her regurgitate it. Britney Spears.
Oh, what?
We'll tell you about it.
Okay.
We've been through. We've personally had a lot of like involvement in Britney Spears' life in the last year, and when we know the details that are happening, watching Wendy regurgitate them and not quite the correct. Faction,
in
it's
a way
hard,
that's
and it's like any paparazzi gossip shit happens, but it is tough because you're like, ugh, you're just like getting the facts
all
wrong.
That's not. I don't go to Wendy for facts.
No,
she's to me, not the news. She's her opinion. The only reason I go to her is talk. I like when talk show hosts are good talkers.
Yeah, that's all I ask.
Right. Whatever your opinion, I don't agree with everything that anybody says. There's lots of times where I'm, ooh, that sounded really
but
bad.
But you're not everyone. See,
you know
people
what I
mean? Are very influenced by people
with
opinions.
No, I want you to have your opinion. As long as it's not hate speech, I'm pretty lenient about what you can say. I don't want hate speech, and I do. You make distinctions about that. But if it's your opinion and it's wrong, I don't care. I just want you to be, if you're a talk show host, I want you to be a talk show host. I don't want you reading off a prompter and this and that. That offends me more than her having the wrong opinion about Britney Spears.
Yeah, what I've always loved about Wendy is she's an amazing television personality.
That's it.
She knows exactly who she is.
I'm just saying, when people are not as strong-willed as you, they may be convinced or hears things that she's saying, take them as fact. And when we're seeing what's actually happening and she's spreading false information, it's hard to just see that and be okay with it.
But
that's
people,
all.
But those
but we
people,
care as people who know what's really going
but
on.
But I understand
that she's contributing to something negative happening. That's
I understand, but the people who go to Wendy Williams for fact, that's the issue. It's not that you guys are right and she's wrong.
Yeah.
It's if you're going to Wendy Williams for news, there's no hope for you. You're watching you're looking at any advertisement
it's
and you're
like going to Howard Stern for news. It's like,
it's like going,
you're
going to a personality for news, then I can't help you.
Yeah, you want a boring
news
person.
You guys tell the facts on a factual based place and that's what you do.
I know.
Wendy's
just,
not going to be
hard
one of the facts.
When you, it's like, I guess there's no line of people that have to have integrity or like be, you know,
I mean,
I understand
she really
she's entertainment. I understand she's
you know what I mean? Like, I think she's saying she really thinks.
Yeah.
She's dead wrong.
You know she's a fucking train wreck.
But she thinks those. And she's she's an opinion show. People going to her for the news, they're the kind of people who join a religion because they picked up a pamphlet at the subway.
Right.
It's
well,
the
see,
same
that's
people.
Me.
No.
I'm done.
No. Well, then you cannot be helped. What, Wendy Williams has to help these people? It's crazy. What are we asking
her? I mean, I'm not even talking about her necessarily, but just the only really times I've ever watched her was because of this Britney stuff, so that's why I'm thinking about it. I do like her. She's funny.
She's unreal.
She has
a lot of wrong opinions, and she's had problematic opinions this year. Whatever it is, I still appreciate, she's excellent at This year, especially since her whole Kevin thing, I thought she's been phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's somebody who has taken a bad situation and I think really run with it. And so she hasn't gotten everything exactly right. That's not the point of her. The point of her is to be authentic and honest. And she's been that. And
she's
that's what I love.
She's just like a chick sitting there giving you the tea.
Yes.
And like, it is wrong. And like, if you, I think that there's a contingency of people that love Wendy, like for that reason. Like, she's just, there ain't
she's
a fact checking team on Wendy Williams. Like,
She's gotten me through a couple of oil changes.
And she's also she's also the first to be like, oh, yeah, like that didn't happen. What, you know, she turns to Norm and she's like, what was his name? She gets names wrong. She's open to it.
Right.
She's not.
Right.
Yeah,
she's being herself.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
For
so
sure.
Kind of shout like out to Wendy. I'd love to do the show anytime.
It's almost a podcast.
Yeah.
It really is almost a TV podcast. Yeah.
I can't wait to hear. I almost want to call the Wendy Bureau after this with the Realty and have them do
the
a
Wendy
correction.
Bureau.
Well, you can call them with information if you have it.
Can you
it's been too long.
She'll do a follow-up.
She would. But
let's try.
We'll talk about it. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well, this has been a pleasure. I don't know if we're wrapping it. Look at me.
Yeah, we're going to do our bonus segment.
Good for you. Bonus. Yeah.
But tell everybody where they can find you online, where they can
and plug
the
show
again.
Yeah.
I am Robbie Hoffman. Literally, it's at I am Robbie Hoffman, RobbieHoffman on Twitter for nudes. I'm just Robbie Hoffman on Instagram. December 6th at the Lyric Hyperion. You can see my show, The Chris Gethard Show, with Robbie Hoffman. It is always sold out, and we have a very fun time. Also, I'll be in Chicago on December 14th doing The Hideout.
Nice.
So,
awesome.
Yes. So yeah. I'll see you guys there.
Hell yeah.
And for Patreon members, we'll be over our top secret session. Go to patreon.com/ladylady to find out what that is. We do an extra bonus segment with the guests that's something too hot for the regular feed. So we'll see you over there.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Can't get enough of us? Subscribe to our Patreon for exclusive bonus content, access to our first 100 episodes, and more. Go to patreon.com/ladytolady now to sign up. As little as a dollar a month keeps a roof over the glam cave and keeps you laughing, even when your coworkers stare. That's patreon.com/ladytolady.
And don't forget to follow us on social media. We're on Twitter and Instagram at Lady to Lady Comedy. Join our Facebook group, Lady to Lady Podcast, to chat with other fans about episodes or even post your own lady problems. Check out our website, ladytoladycomedy.com, for show notes, videos, and merch.
And follow our individual accounts, Babs Gray, Brandazzle, and Testify Barker for jokes and info and where you can see us perform live. And if you want to send us snacks, stickers, or a lock of your own hair, I don't know, whatever, our P.O. Box is 412-794 Los Angeles, California, 90041. And please, leave us a review on iTunes, but only if you like us.
We love you.
We love you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.